Now, our very special guest star in tonight's very special evening, Tito Del Agua.
Thank you, thank you. A woman who's touched many people, stolen many hearts. I know of one of mine. Please welcome the fabulous Magdalena Mascareña.
Voy viviendo ya de tus mentiras. Sé que tu cariño no es sincero. Sé que mientes al besar y mientes al decir te quiero. Me resigno porque sé que pago mi maldad de ayer. Siempre fui llevada por la bala. Y es por eso que te quiero tanto. Mas si das a mi vivir la dicha con tu amor, mentido, miénteme una eternidad que me hace de tu maldad tu feliz. Mala, y es por eso que te quiero tanto. Mas si das a mi vivir la dicha con tu amor vencido, miénteme una eternidad que me hace tu maldad, tu feliz. ¿Y qué más da? La vida es una mentira. Miénteme más, que me hace tu maldad.
In his relentless pursuit of nefarious criminals and evildoers, our silhouetted grim crusader has a mysterious shadowy army who aid our deadly shade, a global network of agents, all of whom have sworn their lives to the shadow's cause. These operatives receive instructions via secret passwords which only they can understand. Do your part. If you would like to join the shadow in his quest, jot down the following secret phrases and send them on a penny postcard to 6696 Broadway, New York City. And we'll send you your very own cipher code solver.
Calling all agents. Calling all agents. New passwords follow. Silence goes faster backwards. A single glass of water lights the world, and the mirrors would do well to reflect further.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadows.
The Shadow, who aids the forces of law, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret, the hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs. This week's episode,
The Nursery Rhyme Murders.
All around the mulberry bush, the monkey chased a weasel. The monkey thought it was all in fun. Pop.
It's about 8 o'clock in the evening as Superintendent Alfred Foster walks down the corridor.
Good evening, Bert, and how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Dr. Foster. I've been waiting for you.
You should be asleep by now, Bert.
Oh, but I've been waiting for you to come and read to me.
Well, we can't read to you every night.
But you promised. You said if I ate all my supper, you'd read a story to me. Read to me now, please.
Well, we told you, Bert, that we'd have to stop reading to you at night.
You're not going to read to me?
Well, you're tired tonight and a little feverish, too. Now just go to sleep.
You're bad. And I'm going to hurt you.
Now, Bert, you mustn't get excited. Bert, stay where you are. You stay where you are.
You're bad. Bert, you're a bad doctor.
Bert,
I'm going to hurt you.
I have no... Bert, take your hands off my throat. Bert. Orderly! Orderly!
I'll make you read me a story. I'll make you read me a story.
Orderly!
I'll make you read me a story.
Hurry!
What is it, Dr. Foster?
Get him off me, quick! In my voice.
Let him go! Let him go! Now stay over there, Bert!
But he promised to read to me. He broke his promise.
Do you want me to get the other orderlies, Dr. Foster?
No. That's all right, Andrews. Bert just got a little excited. I can handle him, all right.
I don't know. I think we ought to send him over to the violent ward.
You better not try to send me away. You better not.
Now, Bert.
You better not even try to send me away, because if you do, I'll hurt you. I'll hurt you bad. I'll hurt you all bad.
Bert, go to sleep. It's 3 o'clock.
I want a drink of water, Andrews. I want a drink of water.
Go to sleep, Bert.
Oh, please, Andrews. Please.
All right, Bert. Just a second. Okay, here's the water.
I was awful thirsty.
Well, today you are.
Thanks, Andrews. Thanks! Now, give me those keys.
No, you don't.
Give them to me. Now I've got the keys. I'm going to get out.
Brookside Home.
Hello, this is Polly Andrews. I'm Harvey Andrews' wife.
Oh, yes. Hello, Mrs. Andrews.
Is my husband there?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Andrews, but he isn't in. All the orderlies are out on the grounds hunting for Bert Eustace. He escaped last night, you know.
That's just it, operator. Our cottage is at the north end of the grounds. I understand Eustace is violent. I'm here all alone, and, well, I'm frightened.
I don't know what we can do. I'll tell Miss Andrews to phone you when he gets back.
Well, all right, thanks.
Not at all. Goodbye, Mrs. Andrews.
Goodbye.
Who's there?
Hello, Polly.
You! No! No! Don't!
Little Polly Flinders sat among the cinders, warming her pretty little toes. Her mother came and caught her and whipped her little daughter for spoiling her nice new clothes.
Spoiling her nice new clothes.
Ma, I know it's presuming on our acquaintance, but I want to thank you and Miss Lane for coming over to my office this morning when I phoned.
Ah, no, it's all friend, glad to be of service, right, Mama?
Well, the fact is, I need your help desperately. You see, Lamont, I'm a psychologist, not a criminologist. I don't think this is a case for the police, but I do need help in trying to find that escaped patient.
And the searching party found no trace of Bert Eustace last night, right, Doctor?
No, Miss Lane, he's still at large. I feel pretty bad about it, too. Bert was showing signs of violence. In fact, he attacked me late last night. But instead of sending him to the violent ward, I kept him here for observation.
Then you think he's capable of being a killer?
I'm afraid so, Miss Lane.
What kind of case was this patient, Fred?
Not fundamentally a criminal type, but extremely unbalanced emotionally. During his periods of irrationality, he reverted to his childhood and lived in a complete juvenile world.
What do you mean by that?
He insisted that I read bedtime stories and nursery rhymes to him.
Bedtime stories? Nursery rhymes?
How have you been handling the case, Fred?
I've been trying to find out as much as I can about his background. Well, I haven't been able to get much out of Bert himself, but his father's given us some pretty good leads.
His father?
Yes. He's a well-to-do but eccentric old man. He used to come to visit his son devotedly every week. But recently, he's been coming less and less.
So you think Bert has some sort of father complex? Perhaps his father's been neglecting him lately?
Yes. And he's become more and more unbalanced until he reached a breaking point and tried to escape. Yes, something like that.
Doctor Foster?
Yes, what is it? What's the matter?
Mrs. Andrews. Harvey Andrews' wife was murdered in her cottage last night. They just found her strangled to death. But the rest of it just doesn't make sense.
What doesn't make sense?
The killer carried her body upstairs and left it in the fireplace.
This is horrid. This poor woman's body curled up in the fireplace like this.
Yes. Notice one other thing, Fred. The killer took the shoes off the corpse.
But why? Why did he take her shoes off?
And why did he carry her body upstairs and put it in the fireplace? It doesn't make sense.
On the contrary, Margot, it does make sense. In the torturous depths of Bert's mind, he acted with a terrible logic.
I don't think I follow you, Lamont.
Neither do I.
You said this man, Bert, loved nursery rhymes and bedtime stories?
Yes, that's right.
Well, in my opinion, he killed this woman right out of a Mother Goose rhyme. Listen to this, Margot. Little Polly Flinders sat among the cinders, warming her pretty little toe.
The dead woman. Her name was Polly.
Correct. And she sat among the cinders after being put in the fireplace.
Yes, and warming her pretty little toe. No wonder the killer took her shoes off.
Yes, the clues are all in the rhyme. I wonder if it's only the beginning, though. I wonder if the killer's going to stop with this first murder, because with all the Mother Goose stories there are, death can rhyme many times.
Miss Lane, I'm glad you're here.
Well, we came right out as soon as we got your call. Fred, what's wrong?
We haven't been able to locate Harvey Andrews, the husband of the dead woman.
But it's midnight now. You mean you've been looking for him all day?
Yes, Miss Lane, ever since his wife's death. Andrews was out there trying to find Bert with the rest of the searching party. And now, he's missing. Pardon me a moment. Hello?
This is Mrs. Parks, Dr. Forster. Could you come out from the reception room for a minute?
Yes, of course, Mrs. Parks. Lamont, Miss Lane, if you'll excuse me for a moment, maybe the searching party is coming.
Lamont, do you suppose Bert has killed the orderly as well as his wife?
I don't know, Margot. Strange they haven't located him. It's the doctor's phone. I think I'll answer it. Hello?
Listen, Doctor. Little Boy Blue, come blow your horn. The sheep's in the meadow, the cow's in the corn. Where is the boy who looks after the sheep? He's in the haystack, fast asleep.
Was Bert Eustace, Margot? Come on, quick. We've got to get outside fast. Let's look at the barn in the back of the cemetery. I wouldn't be surprised, Margot, if we found Little Boy Blue. Come along, Margot. But be careful. We may be walking into a trap. Here we are.
Oh, there's a pitch. Start digging.
What do you expect to find?
Well, the killer has given us a clue, Mom. If I'm not... Good Lord.
There's a body under this haystack. It's Andrews, and he's wearing a blue orderly's jacket.
Yes, Margaret. Little Boy Blue.
Only this Little Boy Blue isn't just fast asleep. He's dead. Lamont, listen.
Heard the killer's laugh after you found the body, Lamont?
Yes, we ran after him, but lost him in the darkness, Fred.
First it was Little Polly Flinders, then it was Little Boy Blue. I wonder who Bert will pick next.
I can guess his next victim, Miss Lane.
Who?
Myself.
You?
I'm afraid of the same thing, Fred.
Yes, Bert hated me as much as he hated Andrews. As I see it, he went to Andrews' house to kill him, found he wasn't there, and killed his wife instead.
Yes.
Then he caught Andrews later and killed him, and buried him under the haystack.
Yes, yes, and logically, well, I come next.
You could be right, Fred.
I'm afraid I am. We've got to find this man. We've just got to.
But don't worry, Fred. The police have a statewide dragnet out for him now.
Yes, yes, but they're so busy covering the highways and terminals, I wonder if they haven't given the most logical place a very fast examination.
The most logical place?
Yes, Bert's home. I think we'd better have a talk with Bert's father, Lamont. I wouldn't be surprised if he knew a great deal more about where his son was hiding.
That's a good idea. Come on, Margot.
I'll go get my things.
That will not be necessary.
What do you mean?
You're not coming with us, Fred. It's just not safe.
Oh, but...
Now, you admitted yourself, probably next on Bert's list.
Yes, yes, but...
You're the psychologist, I'm the criminologist, remember?
Well, all right. Thank you. Thank you, Lamont.
Come on, Margot. And so, Mr. Eustace, at Dr. Foster's suggestion, we decided we would come and see you.
I see.
I know you're as anxious to find Bert as we are, Mr. Eustace.
Yes, yes I am.
Then if we could just step inside for a moment, Mr. Eustace, talk with you?
All right. Step inside, follow me into the foyer.
Oh, Lamont, he really is an eccentric.
Yes, did you ever see anything like this mausoleum?
No. And I don't think anyone else has for the last 50 years.
Well, here we are. It's a little dusty. I haven't used the parlor for some time now. Sit down.
Thank you, yes. You live here all alone, Mr. Eustace?
Yes. Yes, I do. I've lived here all alone ever since Bertram went away. I miss him so much.
And before that, Mr. Eustace?
Well, then it was just Bert and I. Bertram's mother has been dead for almost 40 years now.
I see. You know, of course, that Bert left the hospital.
Oh, yes, yes, I know.
You read it in the papers, I suppose.
No, I didn't read it in the papers.
You couldn't by any chance tell us where Bert is, could you, Mr. Eustace?
I don't know, Mr. Cranston. I don't know.
What's that noise?
It must be the cat. She must have knocked something over upstairs. That's...
Those are hardly the footsteps of a cat, Mr. Eustace.
No, they aren't, are they? There must be someone upstairs. Maybe I'll go find out who it is.
Mont! He's locking the door. Why, he's bolted it.
He certainly has, Margot. And we're locked in.
Negro El Cigarro de Passion presents Margot and Lamont After Hours. Let's drop in right now at Margot's tastefully appointed flat.
Hello. Oh, hello, Lamont. Yes, darling, I'd love to go out on the town and celebrate, but it might take a few minutes to slip out of my crime-fighting clothes. Oh, Lamont, you're so impetuous. Just let yourself in. The shadow knows where I hide my key. Bye, darling. Even the shadow needs a little mystery in his love life. I'll slip into my boudoir and relax with a slim, sophisticated Amarita. The cigar for her by Gato Negro.
Hello, darling. Can I come in?
Yes, make yourself at home. I won't be a minute.
You know, sometimes Margot's a mystery even to me. I wonder what the hell she does in there.
I love the luxurious, delicate aroma of my Amarita and its effect on Lamont.
Oh, can't you hurry, darling? The waiting is torture.
Coming, darling. Ladies, take Margot's advice. Get yourself a box of Amaritas. Here I am, darling.
And if it's possible, even more ravishing than usual. I just don't know how you do it.
Well, it's only fair that there are some things that even the shadow doesn't know. Right, girls?
That was After Hours, brought to you by Amarito, Cigar for Her. Exclusively from Gato Negro, El Cigarro de Pasión. And now, back to tonight's adventure.
It looks as if we were too slow.
Yes, while we were breaking out, both Mr. Eustace and Bird have disappeared. Come on, Margot, we've just got to make sure, though. We'll go down this corridor. You stay close to me.
Don't worry, Bert. Oh, I just ran into another one of those darn spider webs.
Spider webs can't hurt you either, darling.
Maybe not, but this one had a spider in the middle of it. No wonder Bert was unbalanced living in this old mansion.
Yes, with a queer old duck like Eustace for a father.
It's Bert. He's on the floor above us. He's up there, top of the stairs.
Listen.
Goosey, goosey gander, where shall I wander? Upstairs and downstairs, and in my lady's chamber. There I met a man who wouldn't say his prayers. I took him by the left leg and threw him down the stairs.
Oh, Lamont. It must be Mr. Eustace, the poor old man.
Wait a second. We'll have a look.
Here's a flash.
I'd say that the old boy's...
What's the matter?
Margot, this isn't Mr. Eustace.
It isn't?
No. It's Bert.
Eustace couldn't have vanished into thin air, could he?
Well, it looks as though he did. We looked over every inch of the house.
You're hoping we can pick up his trail at Dr. Foster's house?
Yes, the most logical place to look for him now. Well, here we are. Now, if I can just...
What's the matter?
I saw something in the car headlights.
What?
The figure of a man back there. Looked like old man Eustace, Margot. I'm going around back. You go into Fred's house. Tell him I was delayed.
Be careful, darling, please. That old man is a crazy killer.
Don't worry. The shadow is going to set a trap. This time, the crazy killer has spoken his last message.
That's when I saw him, Miss Lane. The killer has been here.
You've seen him?
Yes, yes. I saw the same figure Lamont saw when I stopped to pick up the mail.
Oh, Mr. Eustace.
Yes, yes, and he left this in the mailbox.
What is it?
A note. Listen. Dr. Foster went to Gloucester in a shower of rain. He stepped in a puddle up to his middle and never went there again.
Then old Mr. Eustace is here. Lamont did see him.
He must have. It must mean that crazy killer's going to creep in this house and murder me in the night. He's out of his mind. None of us are safe anymore. We're all... Why, this is strange.
What is it?
The killer is really close. Here's another note. Here on my desk. And the odd part about it, it's addressed to you.
To me?
Yes, yes. Read it.
Seesaw Marjorie Daw, Jackie shall have a new master. He shall have but a penny a day because he can't work any faster. I don't understand.
Marjorie Daw. It's almost like Margot.
You mean the killer?
I mean, I'm afraid he means you, Miss Lane. Margot, Marjorie. Very close, aren't they? Close enough for all practical purposes.
Dr. Foster, why are you looking at me
it's,
like
it's
that?
It's a nice rhyme, isn't it? It has a certain swing to it.
I...
Seesaw, Marjorie Daw, Jackie shall have a new master. He shall have but a penny a day because he can't work any faster.
You! You're the nursery rhyme killer.
Yes, Miss Lane, yes, I am. I love nursery rhymes. Old Mother Hubbard went to her cupboard to get her poor dog a bone. Little Jack Horner sat in his corner eating his Christmas pie.
Get away.
Well, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water.
Get away.
Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater.
No.
Ah. What was that? Who's in the room? Who's there? Someone I can't see. Who are you?
Would you like to hear a little nursery rhyme, Dr. Foster?
Who are you?
I have a little shadow who goes in and out with me. And what can be the use of him is more than I can see.
Stop it.
Very, very like me from the heels up to the head. And I see him gently for me when I jump into my bed.
Stop it! Stop it! I'm going mad!
You're mad already, Foster. Your mind has been clouded by the dark shadows you follow.
The shadow?
You thought you could blame these murders on Bert, and then on his father. You became so obsessed with this case that your own mind broke under the strain.
Oh, let me out of here! I gotta get out of here!
No, Foster. The state has a place for you. A place where you will never again be allowed loose amongst society. A place where you can safely recite nursery rhymes to your heart's content.
Foster wasn't a doctor at all. He was just a clever quack who outsmarted himself.
He became so obsessed with abnormal cases such as Bert Eustace that he became unbalanced himself. Is that it?
That's right, Margot. Bert's escape must have been a snapping point in Foster's mind. He went on a rampage, blaming everything on Bert. And when we went to see old man Eustace, Foster was afraid we'd find Bert, get the truth out of him, so he had to get rid of Bert and shift the blame to the farm.
Well then, Foster was the one Polly Andrews saw, and it was his voice we heard on the phone. Both Bert and his father were completely innocent?
That's completely right, Margaret.
I still don't see why he called you in on the case when he was guilty, Lamont.
Well, that's how he outsmarted himself. He didn't want to risk calling in the authorities, but he did need an outsider to verify his alibi and corroborate the statements. I'm a criminologist, we've met before, and I seem like the logical choice.
Hmm, I see. Well, after that case, there's one thing I'm sure of.
Oh, what's that, Margaret?
If I ever have to read to a child again, I'm going to read from the Encyclopedia Britannica.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The shadow knows.
Ha 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 ha! del Agua. Thank you.
Oh, Jesus!
You can be a Latin lover just like me.